Welcome to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. This program is designed to teach and educate you about the history and the infallibility of God's holy word. We trust you'll find today's program challenging and encouraging. Your host, Bruce Musselman, combines many years' experience as a pastor, author, and conference speaker. Here now with today's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Okay, I'm so glad to be with you today, and this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And if our name is written in the book of life, the Lord Jesus Christ said that we should rejoice over that our name is up there. And of course, by faith in Jesus, that means when we receive Jesus as our God and our Savior, at that moment our name is written in the book of life and our sins are forgiven. And what a blessed thing it is. Jesus paid for it all when he died on the cross and he rose from the dead. But we're going to talk today in what the Bible says, dealing with this virus that's around. But before that, Brother Al has his section here of the program, which is always interesting.
Well, thank you, Bruce, and good to be with you today. And just a reminder to the listeners, they can go online to whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com, and they can learn more about you and follow the program and listen to past programs there. And so I encourage people to check that out, whereisgodsword.com. Well, you know, I was looking at something here, and I was thinking about, we're all celebrating the resurrection of Christ and talking about his sacrifice, and there was a case there where in the Bible we had Jesus had informed his disciples that they were all going to deny him at the Last Supper. And in Mark 14, verse 30, after Peter had attested that he would not deny Christ, never deny Christ, it says in Mark 14, 30, "And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." And so we have a mention of a rooster here. A rooster, of course, is a chicken. And that was reading that, and that's the way my mind works sometimes, it reminded me that when I was young, when I was in the fifth grade, someone asked my fifth grade teacher, they said, "Miss Schmidt, which came first, the chicken or the egg?" And probably people have heard that question before. And so they asked the teacher, and she kind of smiled and said, "If you believe what I do, you'd know the answer." And she was referring to the Bible, and she was talking about how God created everything, and we see that in Genesis chapter 1, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 20, where it says, "And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good." Now, all this was done on the fifth day. And so a lot of times Christians will say, well, of course, the chicken was created first. But let me give you a different answer to that. Actually, the chicken and the egg were created first, because when that chicken was created, that chicken had eggs created within it so that it could give birth or lay eggs and produce more chickens. And so obviously you had a rooster and a hen produced. That hen had eggs, and therefore we had more chickens. And that's kind of an interesting thing when you think about it. The actual answer to which came first, the chicken or the egg, is both came at the same time on day five of the creation week. But it's rather interesting. The scientists, of course, the evolutionists, contend that birds evolved over millions of years from dinosaurs. And then as you read in Genesis chapter 1, we see birds being created on the fifth day, and then the land animals being created on the sixth day. So they don't even follow each other in the order of creation in the Bible. They don't follow the way the evolutionists say. And so the evolutionists say that birds evolved from dinosaurs. They actually literally teach that a proto chicken, a proto hen, and a proto rooster, not really chickens, but just sort of like and similar in some ways, laid an egg. And out of that egg, a giant leap of evolution took place. They call that punctuated equilibrium. originally they called it the hopeful monster theory, and a baby chicken popped out. Now, whether that baby chicken was a hen or a rooster, we don't know, but obviously only one popped out. That means that another proto-hen and another proto-rooster somewhere, fortunately near enough by and at the exact same time or time frame, laid another egg. And through a magic leap of punctuated equilibrium, a giant leap forward in evolution, another baby chicken popped out that just happened to be the opposite of the other one. One popped out as a hen, one popped out as a rooster. And then nobody ate them before they could grow big enough to mate and produce more eggs. And then those eggs hatched baby chickens. And so all the chickens that we see in the world today came from those two little chickens, the hen and the rooster, that popped out of the eggs laid by some kind of proto chicken. Well, there's a problem with that. One, of course, is the Bible says chickens were produced before dinosaurs. They were on day five, dinosaurs on day six. But the other problem is that there's a lot of evidence that birds, modern birds, are found in the same rock layers as dinosaurs. Dr. Carl Werner visited 60 natural history museums and 10 dinosaur dig sites in seven different countries. He asked paleontologists if they had any personal knowledge of modern birds found with dinosaurs and was surprised to find out, yes, they did. He said he interviewed a scientist at the Museum of Paleontology at Berkeley who discussed a parrot fossil that they found in the Cretaceous layer. That's dinosaur layers. But the parrot fossil was not on display in the museum. With each interview, he found that more modern birds had been found with dinosaurs, and he added to his list not only parrots, but penguins, owls, sandpipers, albatrosses, flamingos, loons, ducks, cormorants, and avocets. How about that? Well, so much for the person that said when you're looking at a chicken, you're looking at a baby or the successor to the Tyrannosaurus rex. People say when you're looking at chickens, you're looking at dinosaurs. When you're looking at birds, you're looking at dinosaurs. Well, guess what? Modern birds are found in the same fossil layers as the dinosaurs. In fact, sometimes even earlier. So why don't you see them in the museums? Well, because it doesn't fit the narrative they want to tell you. That's why for decades they were finding soft, spongy, and even sticky material inside of supposed dinosaur bones. In other words, collagen and sticky blood cells. It shouldn't exist. And so they just covered it up, refused to publish it, refused to display it, the information, until the overwhelming evidence showed that, yes, indeed, we have dinosaur bones with sticky tissue inside of them. And so they finally said, well, it must have been preserved in oxygen-rich water. That's what they say. Well, guess what? The Bible warns of a time when people would ignore true science. The Bible, Timothy, was warned by the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 6. He said in verse 20, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings in opposition of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. And let me encourage you to do the same thing. Just because the museums don't show it doesn't mean it didn't happen, because in fact it did happen, and the museums refused to show it. Once again, the fossil record and common sense echoes the word of God, and which came first, the chicken or the egg? Obviously both, because they were created complete on day five of creation. Thanks, Bruce.
Okay, Brother Al, thank you for that excellent report. Always enjoy it. And, you know, it reminds me of someone has said that science is the creation myth of atheism based on emotional panic at the thought of God. And that is really true. You know, the fossil record really shows that the creation is, like the Bible said, you know, that all these different types of life are suddenly appear, and they call it the Cambridge explosion. They always have a fancy name for things like that to deceive. You know, the Bible talks about this says that they deceive men through great swelling words and that have people in admiration because they can throw some big words at them, you know, the four or five syllable words, that's how they work. But, you know, in relationship to this virus, and it makes me think of Revelation chapter 9 and verse 20 and 21. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils. Now, I'm going to list some of these things that they were doing. Worship devils, that's spiritualism. And, you know, we have many of the top politicians and so on are involved in the Masons, but their leader said that their god is Lucifer. And, of course, people at the bottom, it's a good old boys club, but when it gets up to the top, when they find out the top writer said their god is Lucifer, that's the devil himself. And it says, and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Now, we don't, there's people that still worship images today in religion, and that's pretty widely done around the world. But at the same time, you can apply this way also, that they're worshiping science. And I was listening to television, and they said something praising science. Well, science, and so they worship science today. We don't need God anymore because we have developed scientifically, and we are now so very intelligent, and we can solve all our problems with science. And that's the worship of science. And science is simply observing what God has put here, and they have Earth Day and all that stuff, but the worship of their scientific achievements. And God is, it's just like he's upset the apple cart and let the devil loose, and man, we have this virus, and they're not doing too good in keeping many people alive. You hear reports of thousands of people dying. With all the scientific achievement, it's not working out too well, is it? And so they worship these gods, and that's what they're doing today. Neither repented they of their murders. And so it reminds me, just a few weeks ago, they had a big celebration in New York City over late-term abortion, because they can have all kinds of abortions, which is nothing but murdering babies. And so they had a big celebration of it, but then a few weeks later, why you see on television, scene two, they're carrying people out by the hundreds in body bags out of their places and burying them. You know, the Bible says God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so it says, God says already they didn't repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries. And that deals again with spiritualism and the contact of demonic spirits. And so they don't repent. God told us not to contact them, and people do that also. Nor of their fornication. Well, my goodness, now that really hits on the line. That's having sex outside of a marriage between a man and a woman in a marriage place. And so the media has been pushing that for 40 years, and so many people are involved in that. And, of course, there's about 40 million people have some kind of a disease because of the that practice, plus, and I could go on all the other trouble that comes, nor of their thefts. That's stealing, you know, and just plain downright stealing, and stealing at all levels of society from very poor to very rich people stealing. And so God says they didn't repent of it, and so because of that, his wrath and judgment was on mankind. Now, it also reminds me of another place in the Bible that's very interesting that deals with this subject, and I'll talk about that in just a minute here. We go to the book of Daniel, and in the book of Daniel, there's a king, and his name was Belshazzar. And Belshazzar was related to, in some way related to Nebuchadnezzar. They would call the, sometimes it wasn't the direct son, but he was called the son of Nebuchadnezzar. And so Belshazzar was a king, and he was a proud and arrogant king that had nothing to do with God and mocked God. And so he had a big feast for all the leaders in his kingdom, which was the city of Babylon. And he had this big feast, and it says, with 1,000 of his nobles and leaders in the kingdom. And so they drank wine, and they decided to drink wine with the silverware and so on that Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple, God's temple in Jerusalem, and they decided to really have a party going there. Well, in the middle of the party, while they were half drunk, all of a sudden, with this thousand people there, they saw this handwriting on the wall, and suddenly Belshazzar was scared out of his wits, and so he tried to call all his wise men, and he called the astrologers. They have that today. They believe life is controlled by the stars, and the soothsayers, that's the spiritualists like we have today, and it's amazing how all this stuff goes on today, and the wise men, and they to get an answer, but nobody really could give the answer and interpretation of what the hand wrote on the wall, and that would be quite disturbing, because here's a hand, and it just writes something on the wall, and so and then in the case of Belshazzar and the rest of them, they were half drunk anyway. And so finally the queen comes in and says, well, there's a person here that can answer things like that and seems to know the gods. And so they bring in Daniel. And Daniel makes these statements that I'm going to read in Daniel chapter 5. And it says here, chapter 5, verse 25 through 28. The message that is given, and it is very relevant for today. This is the writing that is written. Meeni, meeni, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Meeni, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. There's proud businessmen today and lawyers and so on that blaspheme God, curse, take Jesus' name in vain, lie, cheat, and steal. And one day, suddenly, they're big, their big kingdom that they have, it may not be like Belshazzar's kingdom, but I mean their big financial kingdom, suddenly comes to ruin. They get a heart attack, and they're finished. God had numbered their kingdom. They're done, just like Belshazzar. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. So Daniel says to Belshazzar, the king, he says, you're weighed in the balances. God is judging you. He knows everything you said, everything you thought, everything you did, all the words that you have spoken, and he has judged you, and your time is up. You are found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Well, they were outside the walls of Babylon, and while they were having that big feast, they had diverted the river there and walked under the walls. And so they, at that time, they conquered the city of Babylon. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck, and concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Mede took the kingdom, being about 62 years old, that'd be 62 years old. Now, it is really a picture. God is weighing. God is going to judge mankind. You know, I think that this virus, it's a wake-up call. Look at all the people that got sick. Look at all the people that died. And we say, we're a proud civilization. We have scientific knowledge. We really are smart. But then when it comes to this thing, it seems like it just created chaos, and we really can't deal with it. And God is saying, hey, we don't have all the power and authority that we think we have. We're not quite as confident as we think we are. You know, it bothers me sometimes when our leaders are saying right now, they're saying, well, let's all get together and we're going to conquer this thing. Well, you better say we ought to all repent, and we ought to ask God for help right now. It seems like that when they're talking about, they're just talking about uniting, but there's not very much talk about God. I look at some of our past presidents, and if you would see what they would say, like Lincoln would say, well, we are in this situation because of the sins that we have committed. You know, God said that war was God's judgment on man during this period of time, but hell is God's judgment on man in the future. And so God allows, he had plagued Pharaoh, and God judges sin. It's interesting that the people practicing Sodom and Gomorrah, where they had homosexual rape, and in those cities, when somebody came into the city like the angels, they tried to get them and rape these angels. And it just reminds me, they put pressure on the Boy Scouts, which are connected with churches, to take people that practice sodomy or homosexuality. And so they took them as Cub Scout masters. And now you read in the paper they're suing the Boy Scouts and practically ruining them because of what has taken place. And so you see that God is watching what is going on, and he is giving us a wake-up call right now. But, you know, God is merciful also, and he tells us all through the Bible, repent, repent. Jesus came in and said, he said, repent and believe the gospel. Turn from your sin and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and say to him, Lord Jesus, I am willing to turn from my sin, give it up forever, and take you as my master, my Lord, my God. Please forgive me. I believe you died for my sins, paid for all of my sins, rose from the dead, and I wish to meet you in heaven. And Thomas says unto Jesus, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, blessed are they that have not seen and believed. And so all of God's blessings come at that point when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, God has given us warnings, and so we need to take those warnings now. And, you know, there's something in this, because they say 50% of the Bible reading is up about 50% right now. And people that were at home were listening. There's a lot of good preachers on radio and television that I saw that explained the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so you have an opportunity. You can say to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Well, God bless you, and I hope that you will accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. To learn more on this topic and to contact Bruce, visit his website at whereisgodsword.maplenoel.us. That's whereisgodsword.maplenoel.us. There you will find a vast array of resources on this topic, including copies of previous programs, articles by Bruce, and links to other recommended materials. Bruce is also available to speak to your church or organization. Again, that web address is whereisgodsword.maplenoel.us. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the faithful listeners in this area.